Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Welcome to EMS Live. In Wisconsin, this is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association. It's a pleasure to have you with us. This is a special podcast today. We've dedicated the podcast to talking about Wisconsin EMS Day at the state capitol. That is planned for November 1st, and we are recording this podcast on October 6th, 2017. I'm pleased to be joined today by PAW President and President of Ryan Brothers Ambulance in Madison, Patrick Ryan, as well as Executive Director at the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health, John Eich. Gentlemen, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
Good morning, guys.
It's great to regroup on this. Dana Seckler, who is Chief of Baraboo EMS, is also going to be joining us. Dana, if you are on hold, if you would go ahead and press number one on your phone keypad, we'll bring you right into the call. We wanted to cover this special event that's being organized at the state capitol in Madison because it totally circles around EMS and EMS events that are happening at the capitol, and to talk further with our local legislators about EMS, of course, and there's been a lot of activity as of recent. John, if I could ask you maybe to just give us a little historical perspective, since I believe the creation of Wisconsin EMS Day at the Capitol is really an outcome from all the work that was done last year with the legislative coalition, and I know you were a part of the coalition, and a lot of things came out of those meetings and went before the legislators. Do you mind just giving us a quick recap of things, and then we'll get into more details on the upcoming November 1st day at the state capitol?
Oh, sure. Thanks. I'd be happy to. So, yes, as you said, last summer, the Legislative Study Committee examined rural volunteerism in both EMS and firefighters, and that was a powerful and interesting occasion for us to hear from folks around the state about what they see as the issues on this. And from that, a lot of discussion in the industry, a lot of discussion amongst the study committee, and some bills have emerged from that, from members of that committee. And at the same time, while it got people excited, it felt like we wanted to capitalize on that momentum and also get a little more input from EMS in general. And so the idea was put forward from Kevin Jacobson in our office that, you know, there's these government days that happen. What if we tried to bring everybody together? So tried to grab all four associations that deal with this, get everybody on the same page, on the same stage, and get as many people as we could down to the Capitol to talk to the legislators about some of the issues that came up last summer and issues that have been around for a long time, and to try and suggest and influence some legislation from the people that it would impact the most. And so that's the goal, and I have to say it's been really exciting to see and gratifying to see the associations come together so quickly and so well to work on these issues. It feels like there's some pressing matters as well as some sort of some legislative issues that I think we'll get into in a bit. But also, it really is time for EMS to walk in the legislator's office and say, this is who we are, this is what we do. You should hear this from our own mouths, and so that we can talk about what we need. So this is a great chance to do it. We're going to meet for the morning on – so this is Wednesday, November 1st is EMS Day. And it will be meet downtown in Madison, downtown, meet for the morning to have sessions on how to advocate, what the talking points are, get some legislative speakers, and then in the afternoon set up visits. I should say those visits will be set up in advance. Just by registering, we're going to do the – the work in the background to set those up for you so you can walk into your legislators with a packet of information on the issues and have some good conversations. And we hope that if we can get people from around the state to walk into all of those offices in the Capitol building, that EMS will be a topic that will be discussed much more moving forward.
All right. Excellent, John. Thank you for the update and the snapshot, too, and last year's work and really what has led up to Wisconsin EMS Day. I do want to also bring Dana Seckler in. Dana, thank you very much for calling in. You also were a part of the legislative study committee that John just referenced leading up to what I believe November 1st. What are some highlights that you wish to share also?
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having us on. First of all, I just want to express the gratitude towards John for being able to come up with an idea and move forward with it, because he has really been the anchor for this group and committee to get together, in which you have representatives from the Professional Analysts Association of Wisconsin, PAW, representatives from the Wisconsin EMS Association, or WEMSA, from the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin, or PFFW. You have the Wisconsin State Fire Chiefs being represented, and you have the EMS Board, specifically the chairperson for that group, being represented, all in this committee that decided to get together and say, you know what, we all have different perspectives and viewpoints. We have representative audiences all throughout the state, and on a couple of issues we may have a little differing view. But you know what? On more than 90%, in fact, probably 95% of all the issues, we actually have very similar ideologies. And we decided to come together and meet and say, what legislative initiatives and items can we all agree on and show to the state of Wisconsin, to the legislators and all, that all these groups that have some type of representation in EMS are very interested in these statutes or bills, and here's where we stand united on them, and here's what we'd like to see support of, here's where we might want to see an amendment for or some additional wording to, and the whole goal is to build a better EMS system within the entire state of Wisconsin. And I will tell you, it's been great going to these meetings. It's been great that John has been there to kind of help guide us through all this and remind us of what our goals and initiatives are. And because of that, we're able to have, you know, our first ever EMS Day at the Capitol, where hopefully we will have representatives from all these various groups showing up to the Capitol to be able to speak with their legislators about bills that actually affect EMS. And we want to be able to put our best foot forward and be able to create an even better system that we have today.
Very good, Dana. Thank you very much for sharing that information. I know that as a part of the planned events, communication has been circulated to EMS providers, fire folks statewide via the various associations that are participating. And the first paragraph basically starts out like this. This is a critical time for EMS. Volunteerism is down, levy limits and dwindling reimbursements are affecting funding to EMS, and services are struggling to keep ambulances staffed and their doors open. The goal on November 1 is to talk with legislators about three items: tax incentives to recruit and retain volunteers, lifting levy limits for EMS services, and reducing unnecessary calls through use of community paramedics and community EMTs. So those are the three talking points. Let's touch on each of these, if you wouldn't mind, so that folks have an idea of what some of the plans are around this discussion. John, would you mind starting us off with the tax incentives, just so folks have a little bit better idea of what that means?
Oh, sure. One of the things that emerged from the study committee was service after service testifying how difficult it was to both recruit and retain volunteers. And in casting around for a solution for that, the committee came up with the idea of tax incentives. In other words, At the end of the year or tax time, you could file for, you know, as a volunteer in a service, you could file for this incentive package. And one, there were two bills. One was for money that would come for your time as a volunteer. So there was a minimum amount of hours. It wasn't excessive by any means. And then the other bill was a reimbursement for expenses that you had incurred for that. So we were excited to see the legislators put those forward, and those bills have, or I should say those ideas have turned into bills that I believe are on the, have made it through, or at least are before the Assembly Committee as we speak. So it would be really important for all of us to go and encourage the legislators to move those forward. Anything to add, Dana?
Yeah, just for the Senate side, it's SB 31 and SB 32. SB 31 is the length of service program. It actually increases it from $250 to $500 annually, and it also decreases your eligibility. You used to only be able to collect it when you were 63. This bill proposes to drop, or 60. Now this bill proposes to drop it down to age 53. And instead of having to volunteer for 20 years, you would only be required to volunteer for 15 years. The SB 32 is a tax credit for that's actually SB 31. SB 32 are the hours that you volunteer. You can get a tax credit on that as well. So if you keep track of your hours that you do, and then SB 33 is the expenses. So let's say you drive from your house to a community college, you know, 50 miles away for training, and there's fuel related to that. There's classroom expenses related to that. Or if you have to buy some of your own equipment to be part of the service, you can keep track of those expenses, and then if SB 33 goes through, you would be able to apply for that to get a tax credit for those expenses as well.
So three bills then. Okay.
On the Senate side, it's SB 31, 32, and 33. I don't have the companion bill numbers yet, but just so everybody knows, we will have all this packet of information, everything we're talking about today. This will all be typed up and put onto various sheets of paper. It's going to be included in your folders. We will be going over it more specifically the day of in the morning, and then we're going to give everybody that participates extra packets to drop off with each of the legislators so that the legislators can then review those items at any time in the future between then and when the vote may or may not take place.
Now might be a good time to talk about that, Dana and John. And Patrick, I know you're back with us. Because a lot of folks in EMS didn't get involved in EMS to go to the Capitol and do legislative lobbying or meet with legislators and that type of thing. Sometimes there's a little bit of a concern or, you know, I don't want to put myself in that situation. I didn't join EMS to get involved in that way. I want to take care of people. But it does come back full circle, and government does have a big role and responsibility with EMS. EMS is directly tied to communities, and communities are entrusted to your service as an EMS provider. So it does have a 360 type effect. But legislators, I have found, really like to embrace EMS. They like to know what's going on in the communities that they represent. And for individuals that might be a little shy or a little skittish about doing something like this, just know that your legislators want to hear from you and they want to see you. They want to meet with you and talk with you. But also in how this is being organized is somebody is definitely not going to walk in and meet with a legislator on their own. They're actually going to be going in with a group of individuals working together as a team in communicating these messages to legislators and the legislative staff. Do you mind covering that a little bit? May put some concern aside that someone may have that I just don't want to go to the Capitol and do this myself. Do you mind going into that a little bit and how you're structuring it so people have a little bit better feeling about it?
I think I might be able to. So we are working to set up these meetings in advance. So when someone registers, and you all should have received an invitation from PAW as well as other associations, but I know that Joe's been sending those out. So when you register, it's free to sign up. We ask for a home address so we know who your legislator is or legislators. And then we have folks in the background that are making those appointments with the legislators and trying to connect people in groups as well. So that, as Joe says, when you walk in, you've got someone by your side, and you've got a packet in your hand of talking points. And not only that, but the morning is spent going over those talking points so that you're comfortable with what's in your hand, and then you can add in your own personal experiences as well. Part of this is, as Joe says, legislators' job is not necessarily to be the smartest person in the room that gets sent down there to put forward legislation based on their own ideas. They're sent down there to represent their constituents, and so in order to do that, they really depend on people to tell them what's needed. And so if EMS is not a voice in that room, doesn't sit down and talk with them, then they don't know how to help us. They don't know what it is that we need or how to give us good legislation that will fit us appropriately. Sometimes what you see is people with good intentions putting forward legislation to help, but then when you consider it, you think, oh, well, that will struggle in this area or that will be difficult in that area. It's an almost there kind of solution. And I think the more dialogue we have, the more conversation we have, we'll move from almost there to all the way there. So, yes, I think almost entirely these legislative visits are very friendly. Like I said, the legislators and their staff want to hear from their constituents. This is their job, is to take these sort of meetings so that they can turn around and represent their district well. And EMS is a compelling area. It performs a very important role in the community, and it's something that legislators want to honor. Anything else, Dana or Patrick?
Well stated.
This is Patrick. I would just really, nothing new that John didn't say, but I would just echo the fact that you don't have to be polished. You don't have to have every single item down that, you know, exists. You just need to be able to tell your story. Because, again, the idea is that you're talking to legislators that oversee the area that each individual lives in. So they want to hear what's really happening on the front line, so to speak. And I know the first time I went, I was pretty darn nervous. I didn't know what I was going to say. But after doing it a couple of times, you really just kind of realize all you're doing is having a conversation, just like you're going to have a conversation with somebody at the local coffee shop. If you think of it that way, you, as John mentioned as well, you know a lot more about EMS and how it works in your community than they do. And again, they need to learn. They want to learn. I've also found one of the other things I learned is that the staff for each legislature is really vital, and it's their job to get the information and to bring it back in a way that the legislator can then understand the issue. At first, I didn't quite know what to think when we were talking to staff versus the actual legislator, but it's really a comprehensive team, and they work together to try to get to the bottom of whatever issue they want to try to solve. But again, I guess just to underscore the idea that you just need to go in there and be willing to talk and tell your story.
Yeah. And I would say one of the things that really surprised me when I started going to these visits is I never realized how much legislators are required to know. I mean, they're supposed to pass legislation and influence regulations on every single thing that government does. So everything from roads to EMS, but also schooling and law. I mean, just there's so many things that they're required to, in a sense, know enough to pass legislation on. So they depend on their staff. Their staff often will fill in the details for them. They sort of walk into the office with perhaps sort of a value system and some ideas, but they tend to focus on the areas that they come from. Sometimes you'll see, like Reed Ribble was a roofing contractor before he became one of our federal congressmen. And so, you know, he had experience in his area. He had interest areas as well. But suddenly he was being required to weigh in on every single thing that the federal government did. And so he depended, as do all of our state assembly people and senators, depend on their constituents to come in and say, okay, here's what it is that I do, that we do. Here's what we need, and here's what gets in our way. Because that's what they're trying to do, is improve all of those areas. So yes, definitely come in, and if you get a staff person on these visits, that's often as valuable as the actual legislator themselves. You can have that sort of heart-to-heart conversation with the legislator, but when it comes to the details, a lot of times that's left to the staff. So that's a chance for us to go in and say, okay, almost this, but not quite that. Those sort of conversations are really great with legislators, but also especially with staff. Oh, and one more thing. Sorry. One more thing,
sure,
I just wanted
ahead,
to add is that the number that keeps kicking around in my head is 16,000. When we talked to the state Department of Health about the number of EMS licensed providers, and they were 16,000 plus, I mean, that's a crazy number. What if, I mean, this won't happen, but I mean, what if 16,000 people showed up at the Capitol and said, we are EMS, this is what we do, and this is what we need? I mean, that would be an incredibly powerful statement. And even if we got a tenth of that, even if we got a hundredth of that, that would still be an amazing appearance. And so my hope is this year and hopefully the next year, and as we move forward, more and more EMS providers will be coming down to the Capitol and talking about who they are and what they do, because legislators need to know that.
You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin. We're chatting with Executive Director for the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health, John Eich, Baraboo EMS Chief Dana Seckler, and Ryan Brothers President and PAW President Patrick Ryan. We're discussing the upcoming Wisconsin EMS Day at the State Capitol in Madison. This, again, is Wednesday, November 1st. There is an opportunity to sign up. You can find that sign-up link on the PAW website at paaw.us. One of the recent communications we sent out statewide was the EMS Day agenda. If you wouldn't mind covering that so folks have an idea of what they can plan for. I see lunch is also included, which is always a good option. But if you wouldn't mind covering maybe some of the details as far as what someone could expect for the day.
Sure. So we set it. Dana was pretty strict about this. He said no more than 2 hours. So you all can thank him, because I would have had us go for probably three. But It's from 10 to 12. So 10 a.m. we get started. We're going to have some stump speeches. We're going to have some. Four legislators have been invited to address the group, and so they're going to talk about their relationship to EMS and their ideas about EMS. We're going to hear what some of the legislators that have been the most vocal and the most active in supporting EMS. We're going to hear from them. We're going to hear from a panel. We're going to have representatives from the everyone that Dana mentioned earlier, the four associations, the EMS board. We're going to have them talk about their thoughts on EMS today and EMS, the legislative talking points before us. We're going to have that as almost think of that as like some introductory work and getting ready and suited up. And then we're going to go through these packets are there to help every person who walks into an office. It's going to have a whole sheet on what is EMS today in Wisconsin, what does it look like, where is it, how many of us are there, et cetera. And then it's going to have a white paper or an essay on each of the issues that we're there to discuss. So you'll have representatives going over these issues one by one, answering your questions, making sure that we're all on the same page. That'll go through, I think that's, we're going to have some wrap-up stuff. We're still kind of finalizing this as we go. And then at the end of that, have some wrap-up and, again, some more question and answer. We're going to serve lunch. We're going to have box lunches in the back, just so you can grab it. If you have a meeting right away, you can grab it and go. If you have time, you can sit there and eat it, or take it out in the sunshine or whatever. So lunch is about 12, and then we're hoping to schedule meetings between 1 and 3. Given the legislators' schedules, some of those may be 3:30, but we'd really like to get them between 1 and 3 so that you all can get back home to family, community, and work.
Thanks very much for the overview, John. That's terrific. The agenda also is posted on the PAW website if you'd like to refer to that at paaw.us. I do want to go back to the three talking points. I know we covered the first one, which was tax incentives, but there were two additional ones listed, lifting levy limits for EMS services. The other was community paramedicine. Would someone mind giving us a highlight or overview on lifting levy limits so folks know what that one is all about?
That was also one of the concerns that we heard on the Legislative Study Committee from the people that testified, basically just funding for EMS agencies across the state, those that are tax-supported, which is many, if not the majority, can only increase their tax levy by the equivalent of 2%. And obviously, you know, some things go up higher than that. When was the last time you tried to buy a Stryker cot? it's more than 2%. In fact, we just got notice the other day ago of something we were looking at, and it, one item went up 4% from just 3 days earlier. So it's a difficult issue dealing with the funding, and those that get their tax levies from municipalities as part of their revenue or income are really up against a rock and a hard place. There's already a state statute on the books that says that if all the townships and municipalities in a county all work together and contract for one single ambulance service, that they are exempt from the tax levy limits. And so they can go – now, obviously, that doesn't mean you go crazy and you increase it by 100%, but, you know, it does give you the opportunity to be able to request a more accurate number for what your expenses are going to be that year. So that's already in place. What this is going to propose to do is say there are some places where it just doesn't make sense for the entire county to be served by one ambulance service, even if it were in a multitude of buildings or stations. But because of geopolitical boundaries and lines, there are going to be many times, you know, more than one ambulance service in a county, but there might be two or three or four. So regardless of what their makeup is, the suggestion is use the same wording for the existing law and just say for ambulance or EMS-related expenses, increasing that, or you would be able to increase it not based on the tax levy. You would be exempt from that tax levy limit, and you could ask for a more appropriate amount of revenue for that. So, again, that will be spelled out in the packets. I'm thinking that language is going to mirror very closely what the existing language is, but it's just going to make it so that it's not just for the single ambulance service in a county, which is very, very few in the entire state, but expand it to any ambulance service that would like to participate in that.
Thank you very much, Dana, for the overview. I'm sorry, John, go ahead. Do you have something with that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, I think one of the things that we heard from last summer and you see a lot is services especially in rural areas, are really trying to get creative in resolving their issues and needs. And when we have these kind of limits and caps, the service can do something creative. They can come up with good ideas. They can take it before their local government. The community can vote on it and say, well, we like your ideas. This is great. You want to add a few people that are paid to this service. You want to improve in this way or that way. These are great ideas. The community supports it, but then they're hamstrung by these levy limits. So this was part of the intent, was to make sure that when communities dealing with their own deficits and needs have come up with a creative solution and the community is behind them, the people who live in the community who receive these services and who will be paying those taxes say, you know what, it's worth it. This is a good service. We want it to get better. We're willing to chip in for that. But somehow the state has intervened, and that's where these levy limit exemptions are being pushed to see if we can allow communities to have more self-determination in the way that EMS is implemented.
The final talking point is reducing unnecessary calls through use of community paramedics and community EMTs. Patrick, do you mind covering this? I know you've been very involved with this for a number of years. Community paramedicine has passed the assembly unanimously. There wasn't a nay vote in the group. but it's been a little bit held up in the Senate. But do you mind covering this as far as the CP aspect?
Sure. I think that's an important tool, I guess you could say, that EMS, we hope to enable EMS to be able to use, especially when we look at, you know, specifically the 911 system. If we can further our legislation to be able to help CP programs develop and flourish throughout the state, obviously it's a more long-term solution. But I think that is a very important step in trying to alleviate some of these things that can then lessen some of the other burdens that we experience in EMS. As Joe said, the legislation has been slowed mainly by, really by factors outside of our control. We have no reason to think that the merits or the legislative view on it as of the merits of such a program have changed. It's just been a matter of priorities within the Capitol. And so I know all four entities that we've talked about already have spent a lot of time and effort at the Capitol to explain what a community paramedic program looks like, what it can do. But we need that guidance not only from the legislature, but then also from the department to be able to outline and really chart the course of how this statewide, how these programs can be developed, modeled, and then implemented. But definitely it's one of the ways that we can help change EMS to be able to better EMS, to make it more efficient, and to better really serve the citizens throughout the state. It's going to look different in different markets. There are going to be different patient needs in different places. But the goal is to make that flexible enough so that local EMS services, along with their partners, which could include anybody from health plans to hospitals and many other potential partnerships, so that can be looked at, developed to specifically address some of the issues in that local community. Again, you know, I'm sure the people on the phone have worked on this for a long, long time. It's been a little bit frustrating that we've kind of slowed, but I think it's just a matter of time before we'll get to the next step and then continue to progress the effort.
Thank you very much for the overview, Patrick. That's perfect. I wanted to offer all of you an opportunity with any type of closing comments, and then we'll, of course, share how people can sign up, get registered, and, of course, share the word with others involved in EMS and fire. John, do you mind starting us off?
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, and that last bill is a perfect example of how powerful it can be to have somebody walk into an office, and especially on the Senate side. So hopefully if you attend, you'll have a meeting with both your senator and your assembly person. And so you would walk into the senator's side and say, hey, I know, you know, this you may not be aware of this CEMS bill, but it passed in the assembly unanimously, and it's delaying in the committee. So if you have a question, you know, if you have a chance, could you mention to your colleagues that you'd like to see that move forward? You get them excited about it, and then suddenly you have senators from all over the floor talking to their colleagues on that committee, and you see that bill move forward. So this is the kind of power that each of you have when you come down to an event like this. So I hope to see you all here.
Dana or Patrick, did you have any closing comments at all?
Yep. Just to follow on the same strain that John was talking about, on the CP bill or community EMS bill, when you go over to the assembly side, we won't need to politic or try to convince anybody. That's the one where it's going to be real easy, where we can say, hey, we thank you for your support because it was passed unanimously, 99-0, which is, I mean, I don't know how often that happens in state government, but 99-0 for that bill, the community EMS bill, was fantastic. I mean, that was certainly a slam dunk. So for those times when you meet with the assembly persons and representatives, you know, just a simple thank you will go a long way with that. And remember, just come on down. Take the first step. Our goal is to have at least one, if not several, members from either WMSA or PA or PFFW or the fire chiefs to be in the room with you and to be working with you. And we're going to go in and, you know, break the ice and get the ball going and saying, hi, how you doing? Remember us? You've seen us before. And then, you know, the rest of the participants are going to be introduced. This is
this is, you know, EMS representative number one and EMS representative number two. And they just like to tell you the story of what it is to be riding on an ambulance and what EMS means to them, and have a, maybe a personal story that you want to share for a couple minutes, because they really like that. They can hear from us and what we have to say, but they love to hear the personal stories and how it relates and how these law changes will actually affect and benefit the people and the constituents in their area. So when they can put a name to a face and they see that life story of how something positive is going to happen as a result of this, they love that. So that's what we need, is to have people coming in to tell their stories, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody in person.
I can speak from experience, and I know all of you can too, when you hear the personal stories, and some of them are very gripping and very heroic, but there's also a lot that show dear commitment, dedication, call above service. We recently had the Stars of Life event in Green Bay, and we again heard 29 stories from 29 different Stars of Life, and it is very, very compelling and very impactful. Patrick, did you have anything in closing?
I think we've summed it up well. The only thing I would like to add is just thank Dana Seckler for his leadership on behalf of PAW to be a part of this process. He's really taken the lead on it and has done a tremendous job and has furthered the relationship that many of us have worked on between the four entities. John has been very key in that as well, bringing people together. And as we heard at our Stars of Life in Green Bay with some great comments from Jerry Biggert, that the relationships and the working together and the cohesion is really unprecedented in EMS, and I think that bodes well for the future.
Thank you for your closing comments, Patrick. Well, to those that are listening to this podcast, the next opportunity is for you to take action. We'd like you to go ahead and refer to the PAW website or any of the other co-sponsor websites to sign up and register to participate in the first Wisconsin EMS Day at the State Capitol in Madison. Again, the date is Wednesday, November 1st. And you can refer to the website for more information and the agenda. This has been a special podcast of Wisconsin EMS Live. This is Joe Cavelli on behalf of the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. Thank you very, very much for listening today.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.